meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Can you hear me, Anderson?
Yeah.
I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. I cannot hear myself. Court Feldman is our guest tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified. There you go.
Yeah.
Physician,
yes.
Addiction medicine specialist. Yes. Now don't kick it this time.
Well, look,
right?
It's right where my knee belongs. Okay.
You're in your constant knee belongs danger. Up your ass. That's where it belongs. Don't hit it on the jacks. Yeah, I guess the jacks are out here on the old console. Yeah. All right. Well, that's shocking. It's never happened before, except for every goddamn night we do this godforsaken show in this dump known as Westwood 2. Corey Feldman is here tonight from the Surreal Life. And
oh, God, is that my best credit?
No.
Your current credit.
Oh, okay.
But that's what you're here. That's what we're talking about tonight.
All right.
I saw the first episode and enjoyed it and actually came in and said to Drew, I don't even know why this stuff is so compelling now.
Yeah.
And I had to leave at 9:30, so I only saw the first half hour, and then I think I TiVo didn't watch the second half right. hour. Or, no, they re-ran it on
right
Sunday
on
or
Sunday,
something
yeah.
like that, and I went and watched it when I got home. But the first hour was just fairly mundane, pretty straightforward, introducing, you know, all the celebrities. There wasn't any fist fights or nudity or anything. It was people kind of getting to know each other. And I was saying to Drew, just having people in a nice big house all standing together in the kitchen at the same time is somehow fascinating to me, and apparently to America, too.
Well, here's the thing, and you kind of hit the nail on the head. Unfortunately, due to a lot of false advertising and negative advertising and negative promotions on the WB's part, the show has been promoted to be this kind of train wreck and, you know, cheese slaughter fest. and really, that's not what it is. I mean, when you watch the show, what you're going to find more than anything is seven very interesting people who, you know, lead very different lives and are in different phases of their careers and different parts of their path. And, you know, and they all kind of come together and learn how to live together under very strenuous and different circumstances.
Well, I haven't, and obviously just the first episode has aired and it's done extremely well. And they haven't really turned the heat up too much yet, at least.
They play games or something? Or they?
I don't want to give it all away, but there's definitely a lot coming. I mean, first of all, one of the great misconceptions thus far is in the editing of the show. It very much gives the appearance that, like, I just got the idea. Oh, you know, I think I'm going to get married.
Right.
And hey, let's get married on the show. And it's so not the way it happened. In actuality, it was something that was said as a joke on the set, and everybody was kind of, you know, we all kind of laughed about it, and then, you know, I was like, yeah, that would be funny. And then the producer, who's sitting in the control room, comes in and grabs me to the side and says, hey, what do you think? You know, would you really do it? Oh, gee, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to ask my wife. I'd have to have her ask her family. I'd have to ask my family. I mean, it's a whole complicated
to get
thing.
Remarried? Or what?
No, to get married, period.
Well,
she was my fiancée.
His wife. At the time. Right.
Right.
When were you planning on getting married?
We were planning 9 months from that point to get married.
Right.
So we were actually already in the beginning stages of planning the ceremony, but we weren't, you know, to the point where we
right.
would have been able to do it in 9 frickin' days.
But
so they, you know, they throw that at you, and then they turn the cameras back on and go, okay, now go deal with, you know, whatever else is happening. You
right. so it, in a way, it makes you look like a little bit of a publicity whore in a certain sense.
Oh, definitely. And that was my biggest concern with doing it. I was like, well, I don't want people to take it the wrong way. And you know, no celebrity's really done it on television, prime time anyway.
Tiny Tim.
Well, that wasn't on prime time from what I was told.
Oh, yes. That was
laughing. Yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't that at 7 o'clock? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I used to.
No, I think it was on. I think it was on.
Definitely have to say.
Well, listen.
All right, but I don't want to get into that.
Well, it's been 40 years or
right.
30 years since someone has done this.
The point I'm making is that I was afraid that it would turn into Tiny Tim, and that was one of the discussions we had. Was that, you know, well, nobody's done it since that, and we don't. You know, I said I don't want it to be a publicity stunt. I'm very much in love with the woman that I want to marry, and I want it to be a sacred wedding, and I want to have a rabbi do it, and I want to have, you know, my family there, and all of those things are really, really important to me. And they said, well, we can make all of that happen.
Mm.
You know, and the only difference
gotta
is
love TV producer,
you're gonna have you're gonna have the press there because they're gonna be bombarding you with cameras and blah 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 if you do it on your own, or you can have us pick up the tab and secure you that the only cameras you're going to have are our cameras, and we're going to do it in a respectful way. So I went, well, you know, gee, that makes sense. You know, why not? Okay. So then I go and I say, how does your family feel about it? How does my family feel about it? There were opposers on both sides. We negotiated. I mean, it was like a two-day. Yeah, no, I mean, seriously, it was a two-day decision-making process before we said, okay, we'll think about going through it. And even at that point, I really had second thoughts about doing it on television right up until the moment that I was assured by one of the executive producers, there will be no stops, there will be no breaks,
right,
there's not going to be anything that makes it feel Hollywood. We're going to do everything 100% authentic and give you a ceremony.
Hold.
And
hold.
What?
So you're so used to that, you don't even notice it anymore.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, well, let me ask you this. Like, I'm looking at the names of the people that are on the thing, and I saw the show, and I enjoyed it, and I thought everyone came across pretty well at the beginning. But I only saw the first episode. But who, you obviously, if all these are in the can, you've been with these people. Who was the most surprising to you? I mean, you know, MC Hammer or Randy.
I think there were a lot of surprises. Honestly, there were a lot of surprises because
who wasn't like you thought there would be?
I mean, first of all, I didn't know who Jerry was when I went into the thing, and that's just the God's honest truth.
Survivor.
I've never heard of
right.
it. I don't watch a lot of television. I just, you know, I'm busy a lot, and I don't do that. But anyway, the shows I've seen is like The Real World and Big Brother, and that's about it. But Brandy, I knew slightly. Emmanuel, I knew pretty well, so I knew what to expect from both of them. The only ones that I didn't really know was Gabby, and I didn't really know much of her other than she was on 90210, and Vince and MC Hammer. And Vince, I had heard a lot of negative things about. I'd heard that he was, you know, cocky and that he was just an arrogant guy.
Asshole. Drew, please.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
Yeah, the first episode, he was talking, Vince Neil from Motley Crue was talking about how he lost his 4-year-old child to cancer, brain cancer, or something
right,
like that.
Yeah.
It was really
it's very terrible. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of people didn't know he even had that depth, you know, that he was so burdened in his life over something that's so real and so organic. And I think that's one of the, you know, amazing revelations that you will find in the process of the show that I found. You know, I mean, when I met Vince Neil, I found out he's a real good-hearted, honest, down-to-earth guy. And the same with MC Hammer. I expected him just to be... I mean, granted, he does get on his podium a bit, but he still is a guy who is very generic and loves his kids and his family, and he's got organic...
Yeah, he was
and
a Marine or something. Or the,
yeah, true.
Yeah,
he's done it all. He's one of those guys who, you know, he's got his fingers in everything, and I love that about him, you know.
Right.
I think it's great.
Well, it's Aaron again this Thursday. Are they going to repeat again on Sunday?
I don't know if they're planning on doing that all the time. I know at some point they're doing like a 3-episode soiree, an extravaganza.
You know, it's funny. I guess I can talk about it now, but I don't want Corey to take any offense to the title of this, but about 6 months ago, Jimmy said to me and my other partner, said we were negotiating with ABC and talking to them about doing some shows and Jimmy's show and that kind of stuff. And Jimmy said, we got to do a show called Has Been House. and we're like, oh, okay, how's that going? He goes, take a bunch of celebrities, Mr. T, your name didn't come up, so that's good.
Thanks, good thing. Yeah. I appreciate it.
And we put them all...
I was actually never called a has-been in any reference until this show.
That's why your name didn't come up.
So I'm really grateful that, you know, I now have a new show that threw me into that league.
Yo, your name did not come up. We take a bunch of celebrities who aren't busy right now, and we put them in the house, we have them go at it with each other, and... then ABC said, well, WB's working on something,
really?
And blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like they were actually just starting to get going with this show. And I wonder, well, anyway, this is all TV is turning into now. I'm fine. To me, anything better than watching some fat, balding guy with a hot wife 10 years his junior in a sitcom. I'm done with that. The big laugh tracks, the sassy 4-year-old who's
married
smarter than everybody in the room.
All the stuff where the people speak ways that no one talks.
And nobody laughs, nobody reacts. Yeah. Tired of that.
Yeah, no, it's a bit stale.
I'd rather watch Corey and MC in the kitchen of Glenn Campbell's house. Sierra.
Sierra, we're picking up where we left off last night.
Hi.
We ended with her last night, remember?
Yeah. I'm going to try this jack again here, Drew, because that one's right. And Drew, do you have to lean on it?
I'm sitting forward to make sure I don't kick it with my leg.
Hey, you.
Every night I go and test it. That's all I can do, and it works, and then it doesn't work.
All right, keep going.
And I'm talking to you, and you can't even hear me. It's good.
No, he doesn't hear you. Yeah. No, it's the jack. It's the jack. It's not in there.
Don't do that, dude.
Really, it's the jack. But it doesn't do anything when I pull it in.
Right, the jack doesn't work.
At all?
Not that one's screwed up. That one's screwed up forever. That one's been a mess forever. That's why I immediately want you to plug in over here.
All right, but that one's screwed up, too, believe it or not.
No, here.
Wow. Such confusion here at the Loveline Studio.
Yeah, that's good.
No, that's
not working.
I'd like to take this moment to give a shout-out to my lovely wife who's sitting at home and couldn't be here with us tonight because she's ill.
Oh, sorry to hear it, but nothing terminal.
What was that? Was that you?
No,
are you responsible for that?
I mean, the pee whips out?
Yeah,
that was not me. That was Engineer Anderson.
Suck it.
Sierra, you're on the radio. Relax. What's going on here?
Hello?
Carrying a conversation while we're at.
Sierra, shut up and talk to us.
What's going on?
Sorry.
And we finished.
She was probably saying the same thing.
We finished. She's talking about Hasbin House. If we finished with Sierra last night, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, where were we?
Okay. Well, yeah. I found out about 2 years ago that my dad is gay, and he doesn't know that I know. I still live with him. My parents are still married, but they have an open marriage, I guess.
How do you know he's gay?
I found out that he had an affair with a guy through my friend, actually, because our mothers were best friends a long time ago.
How did that conversation go down? Imagine that?
Well, okay, my friend, I can't say her name. I'll call her Nina.
Yeah.
She called me, and she told me that her mom told her that my dad had an affair, Parker here, with a guy. And
hold on a second. Drew, do we really have to get back to this call from last night?
We told her we'd finish it tonight.
Told her we'd finish it.
I told her we'd finish it tonight.
All right. Well, you're 21. Your dad
may or may not be gay. We don't know if the
Why don't you have one of your boyfriends try to go out with him? And see what happens.
No, I know he's gay because my mom told me afterwards. She told me that they have an open marriage.
All right.
And she told me that he's mostly gay.
Mostly gay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mostly gay. Like he's got 3/4 of a dick in his ass. It's not full. It's not balls deep. Not balls deep, sweetie.
No,
3/4.
He wanted a
5/8. 5/8.
I guess.
All right. So what's the question?
Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
I don't know.
These
what
days?
Is the question?
Jesus Christ,
Sierra. What is the question?
The question is, I was wondering if how this would affect me subconsciously.
No.
I have a lot of. Like emotional problems.
Well, it's
done its job. It's not something. Like, how long did you find out about this?
I found out about 2 years ago.
All right, it's got to certainly create some ambivalence about men and create some insecurity about who men are and how well you can trust them. But more importantly, your dad is a guy who's been deceiving you for a long time, and that quality in the relationship has been there forever, and that's what's going to affect your ability to have a stable relationship. So you know. If you really find it, you can't trust people, you can't have open relationships, and by open I mean stable and honest relationship, maybe time to seek a little therapy and straighten things out. It wouldn't be a big deal, I suspect.
Anything you find out or that happens to you, or even that your parents do to you after about 18, 17, 18, really doesn't stick that much.
It does.
I mean, if there's ritualistic abuse,
yeah, I mean,
it's
exactly.
Bad,
I agree. I mean, I think most of that stuff is patterns from early childhood. If she thought he was straight while she was a kid, cool, she's all right.
Right.
And you can love him unconditionally because he's gay, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, you can find out everything. I mean, you start finding horrible things out about your parents. It's just what horrible people they were.
Adam, you talk about it incessantly.
Yeah.
Look what's done to you. You've perseverated about the radio all the time.
You're lucky I don't know what perseverate means.
Keep going over and over.
I'd like to perseverate this goddamn console here. It's driving me nuts.
Why don't we switch? Let's switch.
When I got headphones, and only one earphone works now.
That stuff distracts you. It doesn't bother
me. I love Drew. He's always the doctor. He's always making the sacrifices.
No, this is unacceptable.
Oh, shut up. All right, let's keep rolling along here. Jeremy?
Hey.
You're 24. What's up?
Hey.
Hey.
I am a day behind you guys.
Mm-hmm.
From where I'm from. I am from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Good time.
No time, please.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Where in Arkansas are you? Where are you in Arkansas? Where are you in Arkansas?
Fayetteville and Rogers.
Fayetteville is where the University of Arkansas is, right?
Yes, it is,
They have a jumbotron. I spoke at the University of Arkansas, and they have a jumbotron there that's so huge that it interfered with the air traffic control. The electromagnetic stuff.
I'd like to see that.
It's huge.
That would be great.
Imagine the whole back, the whole side of, like, the Rose Bowl, a huge jumbotron.
So what celebrity has it in their backyard?
It's University of Arkansas.
Do they project it?
It's like
sounds like something Michael Jackson would do.
Jeremy?
It's wonderful, yes.
Keep going.
Okay. I actually have one question and one comment.
Okay.
The comment is, the other night, I guess, like I said, I was a day behind you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And talking about the tattooed penis guy.
Yeah, somebody wanted to have a tattoo on their penis.
Well, that is what I do for a living. I'm a tattoo artist.
You tattoo penises for a living? That's terrible.
But you've done that.
I would quit.
You've done that.
I make $300 an hour. It's wonderful, actually.
Oh, tattooing penises?
Christ.
How many penises could you possibly see in a day?
No, I think he does. I think he does other parts as well, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. You do balls as well? I hear you do balls.
If they pay enough, yes.
I hear you do balls and sunflowers.
No,
around,
you've never seriously. Wait a minute. You've never seriously tattooed some guy's ball sack.
Yes, I have, actually.
Oh, my God.
Tattooed a nice little skull.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful story. Thanks for sharing.
A skull, anyway. An aging skull,
skull,
mind you.
Skull and cross balls.
No, actually, just a skull.
Yeah, just in a skull. And how do you... you must have to take the skin and... stretch it like.
Thank God these are phone calls, so we don't actually have to shake their hands when we talk to.
I wouldn't.
What are those needlepoint?
Yeah.
Kinds of frames. Use something like that to hold the.
Yeah,
skin
to stretch
out.
It. Do you have to stretch it out?
Honestly, I have an apprentice that will do it for me.
So somebody just holds it.
I don't even think about it. What is the point of this conversation?
What's the point of any conversation?
Does he have a question? Is there
No. We had a medical concern. He's answering something we raised a couple
times. I apologize. My comment is, when a person gets their genitalia tattooed, yes, they do shrink.
Yes.
They're not erect, is what you're saying.
And they are erect to measure the actual tattoo itself, but once it happens, they will shrink.
And how do they get erect to do that?
We give them a magazine and then let them have a little bit of fun for a little while, and then as soon as they are actually erect, we actually take the transfer and put it on the body, and after that happens, we tattoo.
Oh, my God.
Does anybody like chewing on razor blades? Because that's cool, too.
What kinds of stuff? You need to cut back on the cigarettes there, Jeremy. You're 24. You sound like you're about 78, right?
Oh, I apologize. I don't smoke, though.
What am I hearing?
I have asthma.
Oh, my God.
If you put... Well, his soft palate was destroyed by the penises jamming him in the mouth while they're trying to get the stencil on. He lost an eye. He has an inflamed nostril. He's taking a lot of damage. He's a real. It's like being poked with
a
fireplace.
That's $300 an hour. It's combat pay. What are you talking about? But listen, Jeremy.
Oh my God! You know what I would be wearing if my job was to put stencils on guys with boners? I'd be wearing. You ever watch like on the Discovery Channel the guys who go up and explore volcanoes? And they're wearing these full-on Nomex suits with the big helmets and the thing. It's like what guys at foundries wear when they transport molten steel.
Biochemical.
And stuff. It's like
Homer at the beginning of Simpsons when he's carrying out the.
That's what I would wear.
I would just wear a big sign on my back that said "Kick me."
Jeremy, what have you had people do? What have they asked you to tattoo onto the junk?
I have had to tattoo skulls.
Skulls on the scrotum, on the Dartos tunic.
Yes.
Scrotum, exactly. I have had people ask me to tattoo YOURNAME, your name.
Your name. So I bet that I bet you I got your name tattooed on my
Did you ever, right. did you ever, exactly. I just have a question. Did you ever tattoo somebody that had an M and an I? So when it was soft, all you saw was an M and an I?
No, I haven't.
Because you've all heard that joke, right?
No.
Oh, well, the joke is... we can share with all of
good.
You. This guy walks into a bathroom, and he looks down, and he sees he sees this guy next to him, and, oh, I'm sorry, it's an M and a Y. I messed up. Okay.
All right.
So he walks in, he sees this guy next to him, and he's taking a leak in the urinal, and he sees an M and a Y on his penis, and he goes, oh, my God, your girlfriend's name is Mary, too? And the guy happens to be Jamaican, and he says, no, man, mine says, welcome to Jamaica, have a nice day. Hey, we'll be here all week. Thanks.
Jeremy, two questions I have. Give me a quick rundown of what's been tattooed, and secondly, are there any added risk in that procedure?
Okay, quick rundown.
Yeah.
We've had skulls, we've had crossbones, yeah. We have had hearts, we've had names put on tattoos on the penis genitalia area.
Yeah.
We have also had everything from, you know, something from like a 13 to flames, to a B-57 bomber, actually.
Oh, that's a nice one. That would take a lot of work, wouldn't it?
Actually, it was a 12-hour session.
All right. Now, how does someone tolerate that? Do you put a bunch of Emla cream on there or something?
Sometimes we do that. We have the erection cream, and we've had other times we've had a consumer come in and actually have to take Viagra.
But you know there are
true.
He's talking about keeping the erection.
Yes,
I'm talking about tolerating the pain. There's Emla cream and you know Novocaine creams that you use, right?
Yes, there is.
And does that help these guys tolerate these procedures, or can you use that stuff?
Most of the time, no.
All right.
Well, but let me explain something.
So
these guys are lit up like Christmas trees, and they're high, drunk, and
okay,
whatever, they so they don't feel any pain, right?
And then finally, are there added risks to this procedure?
He's right.
Jeremy, added risk to this procedure? Any added risk to this procedure?
Besides infection, if they don't take care of it.
So I would imagine the risk of infection would be greater in that area than other areas.
Jeremy getting pink eye when he rubs the Embla cream on too many times.
It's good times.
Anyway, Adam.
That's chlamydia. It's not pink eye.
Actually happens is most people get a tattoo on their genitalia,
mm-hmm.
and they want to go out and show it at a bar.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
Once they get to a bar, that increases the sexual drive.
Are these gay bars or normal bars? Because, you know,
any bar.
Yeah, because here in Los Angeles, you can't just go whipping it out.
So you're saying they get an erection when they go to the bar?
Copacetic.
No, what I'm saying is they will go to a bar and say this, I have your name, blah, blah.
Oh, right.
Or I have this tattoo on my penis.
All right, I'm done with Jeremy. But, Jeremy, one last thing. I thought you said they didn't need to be erect when you did the tat.
And then you just said you had to keep them erect for a long session.
It depends on the actual tattoo.
All right. That's the problem.
Can I just ask one more question?
No.
He's gone.
Got rid of him.
I was so enthralled. I wanted to find out if he was gay because I couldn't imagine really doing that job and wanting to talk in length about your work on penis.
Penis was a small
he's not
pork.
Gay. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Seriously, so give me one second. I will.
Oh, he's there.
Are you gay?
No, I'm not. I'm married with 3 children.
Wow.
We got to keep Jeremy because I'm sure he's had some wild piercing stories too.
Oh God!
All right, we'll check back and tell Jeremy.
Jeremy, hang
on. Let's talk about female.
We'll get to that.
This will be body mutilation.
Mutilation
night.
Oh, great! Yeah. Glad I could be a part of it.
Corey Feldman is our guest tonight. The Surreal Life is the name of the show. Thursday nights, 9 o'clock on WB, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Corey Feldman is our guest tonight.
Hello.
One of the stars of The Surreal Life. And I would say a standout amongst the group, at least in the first episode that I saw. I think Corey was the first one at the house. One of the first ones. And seemed to get the lion's share of the camera time, as I
well,
recall.
That wasn't my intention. As a matter of fact...
No, didn't come across that way.
Surprisingly, quite the opposite is true, and nobody will ever get this, but the truth of the matter was, before I left, I told my fiancé at the time, you know what? I really want to stay out of any drama possible, so I'm going to be the guy that sleeps all day, that stays in his room, that never talks on camera. That was my plan. Didn't quite work out.
It's a sign of a guy who knows he gets involved in drama.
Well, no, of course I knew that having me there was going to be
drama.
Yeah, I mean they wanted that. You know, that was their plan.
Thursday nights, by the way, 9 o'clock on the WB. Beyond tomorrow night, are you guys? Is that Glenn Campbell's like house or yes. estate that you guys are at?
Wow.
Yes, it is.
Does he live there? Did he move out?
I don't know the deal. I mean, I haven't slept with the guy lately, so I don't know what his.
It's been years, huh?
But, yeah, it's been a while.
Nice spread.
But yeah, no, it is a very nice house. $7.5 million estate.
Where is it?
In the Hollywood Hills.
Oh my God.
And no, it's very, very nice, and it was a pleasure and a luxury being there for 10 days, really.
Except for the IKEA bunk beds, they had to.
I didn't sleep in a bunk bed. I wasn't about to go there. But
MC and
Emmanuel
did.
Got stuck with that one.
Emmanuel's a crazy, maniacal laugh.
Thus, that is why Corey was there first.
Yeah.
Staking out territory.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. And I like the part where Emmanuel brought his People's Choice Awards with him, by the way, to put up on the mantle.
Well, now that's another producer thing there.
It struck me as that when I saw him.
They said, you know, listen, we want like three things from your past, you know, that we're going to put up some type of, you know, shelf with a little bit of each of your things so it looks like your home type thing. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Not quite what it turned out to be. It was more of some kind of weird retrospective memorabilia worshipping factory. Mm. But I don't know.
Yeah, well, still three People's Choice. I was impressed by that. Natalie?
Hi.
You're 20?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, the People's Choice just ran. I'd like to tell some of the excited stars who won their first People's Choice. Hey, yeah, Emmanuel? Yeah, Webster? Yeah, three.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How do you feel now? Why don't you give me that?
Hey, Emmanuel's great.
He did seem like a good guy.
And he deserves to be doing more work. He's a great little actor, and he's also got very big aspirations. He's got his own record label, which a lot of people don't know. So he's a businessman as well.
What's up there, Natalie?
Hi.
Yes.
Hey. I was wondering if I possibly desensitized myself.
With like a vibrator or something?
Oh, yeah. Like, lately I've been using that, but I've been, like, masturbating since, like, third grade.
Did you get a piercing?
No.
Masturbating to orgasm since third grade?
Yeah.
When did your dad rape you?
A lot.
Oh,
like, frequently?
That was me, yeah.
No, my dad didn't rape me. Yes, a lot.
And are you sexually compulsive, do you think?
No, actually, I gave that up. For my New Year's resolution.
You gave up sex?
Yeah.
So it must have been a problem.
No, I've only had two partners.
But was were you masturbating compulsively?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you using the tub?
No, just my fingers.
Were the guys that you were with fulfilling your needs?
No, that's what I'm curious about. Like, sex doesn't get me off. Foreplay doesn't get me off. I don't like when guys go down on me at all.
Do you like girls?
No, not at all.
Were you traumatized in some way growing up? Were you abandoned?
No.
Nothing?
No. I don't know if it's because I like to be like a giver more than a receiver. Like, I would rather give oral sex and get it at any time.
Yeah.
Do you think you might have control issues?
No.
I mean, are you the type of person that likes to control the situation?
No.
No, definitely not.
How many times a day were you masturbating?
At night. I'd usually do it, and it'd be between 10 and maybe 30.
Wow.
30 times a day?
I've had 27 days.
You've done that? Yeah, but this was every day she was 30.
But that was between 3 in the afternoon and midnight. That didn't start at 8:30 at night.
I just lost it.
Are you talking about the numbers of orgasms or the numbers of time you would sit down to do this?
Orgasms, yeah.
Okay. And you're sort of multi-orgasmic? It's pretty easy for you to have orgasms?
Yeah, but, like, when I do it, like, nobody else can do that.
I understand that. I understand. So how long would it take you to have those 30?
Oh, God, like, I don't know, less than a minute.
30 in a minute?
No. Like,
each a minute?
Yeah.
Each a minute. Okay.
How long did it take you to have 30 throughout the hours?
No, 30 minutes. Each minute, one. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, one after another?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's multi-orgasmic. So, all right. So there's some problem with intimacy here, right? There's a compulsion around sex that you sort of dissociate into these. Would you look at things, or would you think about things, or you get on the web or anything like that?
No.
Did you ever?
I just know like where to go and what to do.
All right.
Well, wait a second. You know, you shut Corey down a little bit with his control idea, and maybe it's not exactly control, but shut up. But the fact that she can only do it to herself. And that she doesn't like it when a guy does stuff, and that she wants to do stuff to a guy. There's a little intimacy.
Intimacy, yeah. It's the closest thing.
But that is a control issue.
Well, No, I like when guys do things to me. It's just after a while it gets boring because I'm not getting to the point. And I'm like, well.
Maybe it was the two guys you were with. Were you really close to these guys?
Yeah.
Dad and uncle.
Dad and uncle. And let's figure out the trauma history here. Are your parents still together?
Yes.
And were you left alone for long periods of time or anything like that growing up?
Me and my sisters kind of raised each other.
All right. Where were your parents?
My dad went away to school and my mom was always working.
All right. So you were sort of latchkey kids.
Okay.
You were left behind. You were sort of neglected a fair amount.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Adam Carolla syndrome. Well, she's got the Corolla. Do you nap after you masturbate?
How dare you?
Natalie, do you nap after you masturbate?
I usually do it before bed.
It's exactly the Corolla syndrome.
What are you talking about?
Neglect, compulsive masturbation, difficulty with intimacy, and then sleeping after the masturbation.
Well, did you normally go right to sleep after sex?
No.
All right. No, Natalie, but this is the what happens when kids, when you started when you were a third grade, when kids are neglected, sometimes they do various kinds of self-stimulating. And when that gets going, that can become a compulsive thing. Obviously, if you've been neglected and have been sort of abandoned and haven't formed stable attachments, it can make difficulty in intimate relationships later. So when you are close to someone, it's sort of overwhelming and intense, and you can't really function sexually. Then when you're alone, you're fine again. Adam, this must sound very familiar to you.
But the part that sounds familiar is you busting my chops. That's the only part that sounds familiar, you a-hole. How dare you?
That's the only time I ever actually get to you. You know what I mean? When I'm actually right.
Right. How dare you? I didn't start beating off until the ripe old age of like 16 and a half.
I know you're late that way, but imagine if you found it when you were 12.
And I was very popular amongst my male friends.
Dude, you beat off?
And I excelled in sports. Yes, yeah. I was out of the house constantly.
Well, Natalie didn't have that kind of an outlet, or she would have had that as well.
Yes, I was not latchkey at all. I never came home.
Mm-hmm.
Amber?
Hi.
Well, what should she do? Go to just get some therapy?
You know, she's 20. I think just try to have a relationship with somebody you really care about and be open in it, and don't get fearful about people abandoning or not being available, and just get into a real relationship. If you can't, then therapy.
All right.
I would say, you know what, here's my advice on it. One of the things that you always have to worry about, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to sexual changes as far as control, whether it is or whether it isn't, or things that mess with you from, you know, male, I'm forgetting the word for it, but when men are unable to get aroused.
Erectile dysfunction.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, whether it be men or whether it be women not being able to get wet enough or things like that, the key thing is the more attention you put on it, the more focus you put on it, the worse it gets. Because 9 times out of 10, something like that is psychological and not physical. And therefore, the more that you think about it being a problem, the more in reality it will become a problem. So I say get as far away from it as possible, enjoy the things that you do, and try not to think about it so much.
Good advice. Amber?
Hi.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I get like really, I don't know if it's paranoid, or I just like really get uncomfortable around my grandmother. I live with her.
Mm-hmm.
And like I'll make sure her house is clean and everything, and my daughter will be taking a nap, and I'll like feel bad about sitting outside and smoking a cigarette when she gets home. And I was just wondering if maybe like I need some like need to go see like a
Why are you living with your grandmother?
Huh?
Why are you living with your grandmother?
Because when me and my boyfriend had broken up, I had like really nowhere to go.
Why?
Because I didn't have a job and.
But you understand you have parents, right?
You understand what we're asking?
Well, my dad lives with my grandmother too.
Oh.
Okay. Well, that might be the answer. Yeah.
Where's your mom?
My mom lives in Reno.
Oh,
why is she so far away?
Well, she just moved there when I moved to Colorado. She got a job offer out there for a real estate agent.
And she left your dad and you behind and her grandchild?
No. What happened was her and my parents have been divorced since I was 9.
All right.
And why is your dad living with his mom?
Because my dad doesn't have a job.
Wow. How old is your dad?
48.
Oh, my God.
And so you're afraid that they're going to find out that you're smoking?
No. I don't. She knows I smoke.
No, you want to be ashamed of yourself.
Does your grandmother shame you and guilt you?
Well, she's like, she puts me down a lot. Like,
yeah,
I've been losing a lot of weight since I had my daughter because I gained 60 pounds.
Oof.
And I lost, like, almost all the weight. I'm down
Hold on, what kind of doctor does it? Who?
60 pounds.
Yeah,
whoa,
really,
Nelly.
That doesn't make you feel good about yourself now,
Trish,
does it?
Lost it now.
You don't do that to your patients, do you?
Yeah, exactly. Come in for a checkup, boy. You really look like a
something impressive
truck this week, huh? Yeah. Put on a few pounds there, baby.
All right, Amber. So,
well,
yeah.
A lot of weight, but she'll tell me, she'll be like, you're getting fat, and I have a completely flat stomach.
All right, Amber, look, she shames you, and she intrudes on you, and here you are dependent on her now, and that's got to feel awkward at a time in your life when you're supposed to be establishing a life for your child. Of course, and you can't do enough, I'm sure, in the eyes of your grandmother, and even though you seem to pull your weight, I'm sure she's still asking for more, and basically she thinks you should be out, and so do you.
That seems like a bad place to live.
Yeah, it's time.
Get a job, you know, move out.
And where's your boyfriend?
Or the father?
He lives in Rhode Island.
Of course.
I see. So he's a big part of the child's life?
No, he's not. He actually, I left him because he was seeing his ex-girlfriend.
All right.
Behind my back.
Okay. Are you seeing anybody now?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good. Do not get pregnant again. Do you understand that?
Oh, I won't.
No. But you can't just will the sperm away from your egg. You have to get on birth control next time, right?
I know.
All right. Listen, here's the deal. Your grandmother's, you know, not the world's greatest, but she puts a roof over your head and toilet paper in your ass, right?
Yeah.
Your dad, this guy sounds a little suspect as well. It's not the greatest environment for you and your child, but you're 18, you're a single mom, and what are you going to do?
Yeah, she needs help.
Here's the deal. You're not going to change your grandma. She's 65 years old, set in her ways, and a pain in the ass. Your job is to keep things nice and copacetic around the house. Stay out of her crosshairs.
Stable for your child. Focus
keep things,
on the kid.
Keep things good with the kid. Don't get into it with grandma. Just yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and go do your business.
That's it.
Meanwhile, you're looking for a job.
Get a job, build up some money, you know, get
and you're trying to
ground.
Get out
it's
of that.
It's hard at 18 to be a single mom. The people that study sort of the attachment issues in young childhood and the kinds of pathologies that develop, the guy named Alan Stroof, a famous researcher, says the one thing that he would wish for a single mom is a supportive partner.
Oh, it's very hard. I mean, that's the worst thing, you know, is to have to go through that at that age.
Yeah, and again, though we do give this advice a lot, we have a lot of people who almost have to live at home because of the situation.
Yeah,
they have a young child, they can't support themselves, so on and so forth. Yet they end up clashing with step-parents or parents or grandparents. And it's tough because you're 18, you got a lot of issues, dad's a pain in the ass, mom's living in Reno, boyfriend's living in Rhode Island, wants nothing to do with the kids. There's a lot of energy, and grandma triggers a lot of that energy. But you have to play nice. This
you
is...
No.
She is...
Hooligan.
You have to look at her as a prison guard. You got about 8 months left
right,
on your sentence.
Exactly.
Don't get in anyone's grill. Don't get thrown in lockdown. Play nice. Do your work, and let's get out of here.
And plan for the future.
Yes.
Don't give up.
Corey Feldman, our guest tonight.
Who?
From The Surreal Life, and we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Corey Feldman is our guest tonight. Name of the show that he's currently plugging is called The Surreal Life. Is Thursday nights at 9 o'clock on the WWWWB. I saw the first one and found it compelling, and told Drew about it that night. And
it's a good show.
Yeah, there is something good about it because I just watched Corey and MC Hammer and Emmanuel Lewis go to a market, and I was intrigued.
Wait till you see what's coming.
I know, I didn't even see anything. I was like, oh, man, look at MC. He's got Lunchables. Oh, wow.
Wait till you see me and Vince Neil sharing a tent together and Emmanuel Lewis getting, you know, dug into the sand and us in Vegas. I mean, it's a lot of crazy stuff.
I did see some of that promoted for the following week, which is coming up tomorrow, this Thursday. Do you guys go to Vegas this weekend?
No, this week we go camping.
This episode? Oh, okay.
It's all within a 10-day interval.
Oh, yeah. We did a lot of stuff in a very short period of time. It was very strenuous.
And what is... now, one thing I didn't get, and maybe it wasn't discussed on the show, there wasn't exactly a goal for the show. I mean, there's no winners, no losers.
The whole thing is, when they asked me to do the show, I initially turned it down three times because I was very concerned that it was going to be some kind of celebrity cheeseball type. Has-been house.
Right.
Which, you know, I wouldn't be any part of anything like that.
You weren't on the list.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so no, I had turned it down, and I said I wasn't interested in doing, you know, that type of thing. And they specifically guaranteed me at the network, you know, we're not Fox. You know, we don't do that kind of a thing. And we're not trying to do celebrity boxing. You know,
right.
This isn't a, you know, it's not Big Brother. There's no contest.
There's no mole.
It's just, you know,
there's
we
no competition.
Right, no, we just want to get seven celebrities in a house together.
Did they pay everyone the same?
And so, well, I don't know. I'm not the producer.
What'd you get?
I got good stuff.
You did? You did?
Well, you bet.
They paid you pretty good money?
Of course.
Now, in the course of living with these other six people, that must have come up.
No, I mean, people didn't ask. Everybody there was a professional. You know, it's not a bunch.
I know, but you're there on day number five.
People have never been to a barbecue. You know, I mean,
people are getting drunk.
Who brought the chips?
They're
sitting
around.
No. Those things don't come up. These are professional.
Did the producer say, "Look, let's no talk of this"?
Oh no, they didn't have to. I mean, you're talking about people who've been in the entertainment business for most of their lives. You know, with the exception of two of the cast members.
I'm just saying.
You're making a case for what Adam's talking about.
I'm just saying, Corey probably got paid more than Gabriel Carteris, you know?
I mean, I don't know, though.
I know, I'm just surprised. I would have, first question out of my mouth was who was
right. No, you know what? I didn't care because, you know, the bottom line for me is I was doing it as a science experiment. When I finally agreed to do it, I was like, you know, I like the real world.
I want to see
what it's like. You know what I mean? I want to see what it's like. What do these people go through?
In 10 days.
And I put myself through it. And you know what? At the end of the day, I was like, you know what? I never expected the negative stuff that came out of it. I thought there was a possibility, of course, but I didn't think it would go to that level. And so I wrote a song about it for my new album.
Which we're going to hear in the next hour, by the way. Is 10 days 10 episodes, by the way, or how many episodes?
No, it's 8 episodes.
8 episodes. Okay.
So think about 24 hours a day edited down to 22 minutes.
Danica, 22.
Danica, you're 22. What's up?
Whoa.
It's actually Danica.
Danica, of course. Of course.
Well, you guys were just talking about genital tattoos or whatever.
No.
I have tattoos on my nipples.
Okay.
Nice.
I just thanks. I just wanted to. I don't know. Tell you.
What are they on?
What are they of?
They're stars.
On what part?
Are they actually
nipple?
On the nipple?
Yeah, all the way up to the middle, the areola, all of it.
All right, like one
that
big star.
That must have been really painful.
Like a giant.
Wasn't bad.
I couldn't even imagine
putting myself through that.
Like a giant pasty kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much permanent pasties.
Do you have large areolas?
Kinda, not terribly large.
What would you say, circumference or diameter?
Inch or two.
It's pretty small. So.
I guess.
By the way, it's funny when people estimate stuff that's on their body and they give you the first number and then the second number is 100% larger than that.
Right, you have to kind of question.
It's like, yeah. Hey, Adam, how tall are you? 6 foot, 12 foot.
You know.
Somewhere in the 6 foot, 12 foot range. How tall are you?
I'm like 5'12".
I forgot about that guy. I've said we have the world's dumbest callers on this show, and I forgot about the guy who said he was 5'12". That's low self-esteem, by the way. He is six foot. He doesn't look at himself that way. It's not 6 foot. He's 5'12". How tall are you?
I'm like 5'12".
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Almost six.
Almost six. Oh, God.
Well, I've never measured them.
Okay. All right.
But you stare at them every day, right?
Well, I suppose. Help.
All right. You big gal, or is the breast big?
No, they're 36C.
All right. That's considered.
36C, are they fake or are they real?
Oh, they're mine.
They're yours?
Grew myself.
That must have been really, really painful for you. Tell us about it.
Well, some of my other tattoos were actually more painful. It was my first tattoo, though.
How long did they take?
I don't know, maybe an hour each.
And what were the more painful tattoos?
Right.
Right above them, on my chest, like near my collarbone.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
That was my most painful tattoo.
Yeah. Now, why aren't you using the anesthetic creams?
I'm not a wuss.
Uh-oh, she went there.
Do you get off on
called
the
him on that.
I don't get off on it, but, I mean,
is it arousing in some way? Is it some part of, it's an important part of this? No.
No, it hurts. But it's cheating to use painkillers.
Why?
No, because it doesn't simulate the abuse she suffered as a young person.
Exactly.
She's fine. Just keep tattooing yourself. That'll make all the pain go away. Matt?
Yeah.
You're 22?
I want to hear about the vaginal area.
I am 22.
You got a question for Corey?
I do have a big question for Corey. I'm the world's biggest Corey Feldman fan, actually.
How are you, Matt?
You're gay.
Just go ahead. Continue your question.
I just loved Blown Away with Nicole Eggert. It was just the greatest movie of all time.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. My friend Jeremy, he says the lipstick camera changed his life.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he told me.
I remember that movie.
Pretty insightful there.
The movie about 10 years old? 12? 10?
No, not that long.
Not 8?
Probably about 7 or 8, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. 93, I think, 94 they came out.
Well, my question is, do you have any advice for aspiring filmmakers? Me and a couple of friends want to make films for the rest of our lives, pretty much, and we were wondering if you had any advice for us.
All right, hold on a second, Corey, and hold on, Matt, because we got to take a break right now, but we will come back. And this is a good question, because it's more and more accessible.
Film.
Yeah, people are editing on the computer. Mm,
right.
They have 3 chip cameras. They're running around and putting these things together.
8 millimeter you can use.
People can do it now. All right, so we'll get back. We'll hear what Corey has to say about that. We'll talk to you after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Corey Feldman is our guest tonight. Corey is, he's been through a lot in his relatively short life. How old are you now?
31.
31, and I guess I saw Corey first in Stand By Me, but I'm sure he'd done numerous films, commercials, and things like that before that. But was Stand By Me sort of the breakout thing for you?
You know, I never really put it into any kind of relative perspective because I'd been doing it, as you said, since really before I even knew my own name. I mean, I started at 3 years old, so I wasn't really speaking much yet, you know.
Right.
I was signing autographs by the time I was 6 or 7. So...
From what?
You know, I mean, I did 100 commercials by the time I was 10. I was probably on about 80 episodics of different television shows by that point.
Were you able to squirrel away a bunch of money
I'd already done a couple movies and a series by 10 years old.
Did you have a bunch of money waiting for you when you turned 18?
No.
Why not?
No. Well, I think we've all heard the story.
I know. I don't want to get into it in great depth, but I got to be honest with you that I've heard so many stories about so many people and so many horror stories that I can't figure out whose is which story. It's not a good story.
Right. It's the wheel of misfortune.
But did you become emancipated at a younger age?
Yes, I did. Yes. I was one of the pioneers of the Emancipation Proclamation in Hollywood.
And you were how old when you became emancipated?
I was... about 15.
15.
Yeah, and I was at that point able to sign my own checks and all of those things.
And is that when you had access to this money? Did your parents spend
it
before
you got
to it?
The deal was, by the time I turned 14, I had earned $1 million. And due to the abuse in my household, I was looking for a way out, and I went myself to the Producers Pension Health and Welfare, which is basically the funding place that kind of assesses all of your income and puts it away for your retirement and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and found out at that point that I had earned $1 million. And
was it all still there?
Well, no, that was the catch, was that when, you know, I was emancipated, obviously all of the bank accounts were brought forth, and what I had left was $40,000. And... although the judge ruled in my favor, being that I was a minor, both parents had to sign, regardless of his ruling.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a forced signing. But the only way my father would agree was if I paid him $40,000 to compensate for the money that he lost while managing me, supposedly. Therefore, I was actually started with nothing 15 years old.
Right. Well, that puts you even with everyone else.
Well, aside from the fact that, you know, I'd worked my whole life.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, I thought there was laws in place against your parents getting at that money.
Well, there's laws, but with most politics, there's loopholes, you see. And the way that it works is my parents were my managers,
mm-hmm.
and each of them were designated as a manager. So therefore, there was two of them, each of them taking 15%. There was 30%, take 10% for the agent fee, take 40% for taxes. And what does that leave the kid? About 20%, which was used up, I don't know, for my best welfare,
I imagine. Now, how is it now with your folks? Are you on speaking terms?
I haven't spoken to my father in about 9 years.
He was up here with you years ago. You know?
Yeah, probably so. My mother and I actually, you know, we're doing okay. I mean, she's not the the most copacetic person in the world.
She's
I guess
not the mother of his dreams.
Exactly.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, I understand that she's got her weaknesses and her flaws, and I accept her for who she is. And, you know, I kind of try to forgive as much as possible, you know.
And as far as your dad goes, will you content to go the rest of your life without?
Yeah, very content, yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, I say that all the time. We have parents who've done horrible things to their kids, and the kid feels compelled to
idealize them,
and reach out to the parent. Right. And I say, look, you owe them nothing. If they were horrible people to you, then you got to sign off, start your own family, and don't make the same mistakes the old
the
man
did. The horrible irony, though, is that the only kids that actually do that are ones for whom the parents were wonderful.
Right.
Those are the ones the kids hate.
Right.
No, I mean, my thing was, you know, I gave him several chances to kind of prove himself. And, you know, in the end, I mean, it was every time I got together with him was some sort of manipulation to try and, you know, recirculate himself into my life when things were going well.
Right.
You know, so whenever I was at some sort of peak in my career, he would resurface, you know, and it was just kind of like, okay, you know.
Do you think he's a sociopath?
I can see through that, yeah.
He's a sociopath?
More than likely.
Is he a drug addict?
No, not really. I mean, it's just more of a thing of, you know,
what's good for him is what's
is good for him, exactly. And he's one of those people that, you know, will lie, cheat, and steal and
so
completely be oblivious to it.
Sociopath, yeah.
And so you get emancipated at 15, and you were, weren't you 12, 13 when you did Stand By Me? Or?
Yeah, about 13, yeah.
It was a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, thank
movie,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah, you were... You know, the whole cast was good in it, but you especially.
Thank you.
Were really compelling in that movie. It's very interesting. And for those of you who are listening to the show who may have missed it, we have some younger listeners and callers and all that, you go back and rent Stand By Me.
No, I like Goonies.
Really good. But so now you're 15, you're broke, you're emancipated. But it's all right. You're working, right? You're getting...
Well, I had deals set up. I mean, I just finished Lost Boys, actually, at the time.
Right.
And I was, you know, getting ready to do License to Drive and Dream a Little Dream and all of those films.
I see where Jason Patrick's coming back in a film, too.
Yeah, he's got a film coming out. I've not actually spoken with him since probably the production of the film.
Got Narc out now. Yeah. But so
comeback's
anyway...
Comeback's all over the place.
He'll be on Surreal House 3.
No... I mean, yes.
What? See? Right. You see? There was some
that's
kind good. Of derogatory,
no, I mean,
you know,
yes.
What was that?
That's great. He should hope.
Don't give me a hidden agenda. Come on.
If he's got a good agent, he
will.
If
you think it's a group of has-beens, just say it. Come on.
No. Except for Gabrielle Carteris. But she's wanted, right.
I'm not going to fight that one. Correct me wrong, but like one of the nicest humans ever to write, like super nice. No?
Oh,
we didn't. Oh, that's
you got to tune in.
Did you see the show?
No, but I've known it for years.
If you're right. Cracked out on the show, like the other people I've talked to, no, actually, we are the enemies on the show.
Oh,
really? I mean, actually, in actuality, we had dinner together the other night.
You got along with Jerry, okay?
She's all right, but Jerry, yeah, you know, surprisingly well. I mean, I didn't have any major conflicts with her, but I do have a conflict with pretty much everybody on the show at one point or another. Just because I'm a very outspoken individual, and I will state my case when I feel I need to, where a lot of people will kind of try and lay back, and that was my trap.
Well, I'm sure.
I got to go on one of these shows and try to fix all these people.
But I'm telling you, no, you would. That would be a great reality show. I'm serious.
True run
no,
around.
No, and I mean, you in the house would have been great, because you and MC Hammer would have gotten into countless debates.
Oh, my God.
It would have been great.
Well, so I don't want to move forward, but I want to you know, we do. I just want to plot on with Corey's course here for just 1 second. So now you're 15. You're emancipated. Now you're already into drugs at this point.
No. Well, I was smoking weed, which was innocent.
It didn't go into full swing.
It escalated at this time. I mean, it was essentially, you know, The patent story was it was a bird being let out of a cage. It was a kid who'd been abused and sheltered and you know, put down his whole life, really, by his family and his schoolmates and everything else. Mm. And suddenly he had all the respect and admiration of all these people and, you know, was going out with comedians like Sam Kinison and hanging out at a place like the Comedy Store, which is no place for a 15-year-old kid to be hanging out. Mm. And, you know, getting everything in the world thrown at him. And, you know, sure, why not? Let's try it. Let's have fun. Let's party with the big guys, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's a bad year for this, by the way, too, because this is probably like 1985 or
no, this is 1986.
Ooh. Oh, 86.
That's right in the middle of all
right
this
in
stuff.
The middle of it, yeah.
Bad Coke years, yeah, yeah. Bad drug
well,
years.
Well, actually, the Coke was very good in those years.
Yeah, the Coke was great. But
No. But the point I'm making, yeah, that was terrible. The point I'm making is that, no, I mean, it was what any kid would go through if they were exposed to that, first of all. Secondly, you know, my parents both had drug issues in their past. My mother is certainly more prevalent than my father. But I think that it's, you know, the trap was set and it was open and, you know, I fell into what I think any kid would have gone into. And I think that I got myself out of it relatively quickly, given the constraints that I was under as well.
You know, not so much quickly, but without multiple relapses. You know,
right.
I mean, you really
well, I mean, I did have multiple relapses, but within a short period of time.
Relapse is part of recovery. The point is you went going into recovery, you kept going in recovery. Right. Relapses were always part of the deal, but it wasn't. Like, it wasn't the Daryl Strawberry story or something. It's like, right. Oh, I was going to spend 10 years on tour. He's still trying to get sober. It's
right,
like, got
exactly.
In.
How long have you been sober?
12 years.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right, let's go back and finish up with Matt, who's 22, wants to know how to...
What's up, guys?
...forge a life in the movie industry.
So he was talking to us.
He's Are you sure after all that you really want to? Still?
Yeah.
I definitely
well,
want to know.
You were going to ask Corey how, these days, with it so accessible and the technology so available to everybody... How should someone like Matt proceed?
Well, you know, my first recommendation would be to do your own home projects first. And I don't know if you've done that or not yet.
What about film schools?
I mean, how old are you, first of all?
22.
22. Have you been to film school?
No, I was actually thinking about going to the Vancouver Film School up in BC.
That's nice. Have you shot anything?
No, not yet. Me and a friend are actually, right now we're working on a little project, just a little... Just a little shot that's going to take a day.
Right. Well, I would say it doesn't hurt at any time to keep your creative juices flowing and, you know, continue shooting. I mean, that's one of the rules of thumb is, you know, if you have ideas, try to, you know, realize them and follow them through. And then, you know, definitely get into a film school, you know, someplace that's reputable and see what they think, you know, and then start submitting your tapes around. And there's plenty of work right there in Canada, as a matter of fact. I've shot a lot of stuff up that direction.
All right. Good luck, Matt.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good times, good everybody.
Luck. Yeah. You're gay.
Actually, not a bad idea to go to Canada because that's where, like,
they can make
said,
stuff
all the,
cheaper.
All the work's going. Rebecca?
Beautiful city,
yes.
Too.
You're 28?
Yeah.
You have 9 tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
2 cut-ins.
Cuttings.
What's a cuttings?
Where you cut yourself.
I didn't do it. Somebody else did it for me.
Like cutting a word in or something?
Yeah, it was a design.
All right.
And a branding.
What do they use the... How do they cut you with the cut-ins?
Razor blade.
But he didn't use a razor blade. He used a scalpel.
Scalpel, I beg your pardon, which is a razor blade.
Oh, shut up.
I just have one question.
Answer.
I just have one question.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't necessarily to you. It's more to the people here at the studio. Could there possibly be a tie-in between my new show and self-mutilation being the theme tonight? Or
it's interesting. Yeah, it's a form of self-mutilation,
right, exactly.
To watch the show.
It's just
a
good thing the show.
It's a good thing the producers didn't hear this while you were filming, or there'd be something happening in the house.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They'd be tattooing somebody something.
So what are the cut-ins or cuttings, what are those of?
One of them's just a design with spirals in it, and the other one's sort of a stylistic flame, I guess.
How do you do that in terms of making it permanent? Because if you cut yourself, it heals up, and hopefully there's no scar. How do you make sure it scars?
You have to scrub at it really hard.
And do that constantly?
Yeah, every night. You pick the scabs and scrub at it.
Sounds like that kind of turns you on a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe part of it does. I don't know.
Well, I don't. But it may not turn you on sexually, but you certainly get something out of this, right?
Yeah, and I was wondering why. I mean,
well, what do you get out of it?
I don't know. It's like
ouch.
Yeah. Each tattoo or each cutting has gotten progressively more painful, and I was just it just doesn't seem to be enough. And
well, one of the things that happens to humans when they're sort of traumatized is that they recreate those traumas over and over and over again. So if somebody smacked you around or hit you, and that was a, and really you were sort of threatened with the possibility of not going on because of the trauma, that's the kind of thing that you'll reenact over and over and over again.
I don't really think I had anything like that. I mean, my mom hit me a couple of times when I was little, but...
Yeah, that won't do it. I don't have any cuttings on me.
Yeah.
What about but the...
Let me ask you a question. Do you get turned on by scars?
Yeah.
See,
what about the branding?
It's more of a it's a fetish thing. It's not.
It's fetish. You weren't traumatized growing up. No sexual abuse, no physical abuse.
Not that I know of. I mean, my younger sister was abused by my father, and so my other sister and I have been wondering if maybe something didn't happen to us, and we just don't remember.
Yeah, see, your mom. Here's the deal. Dad is a child abuser.
Yeah.
Mom physically abused you, maybe not chronically or repeatedly, but she did it. She smacked you. Mm-hmm. That's sort of a setup for those kinds of... I mean, that's, you know, a trauma history. Not overt yet. Maybe it's there.
Well,
maybe it's
not. No, but I mean, I'd go with the theory of, you know, maybe there was something in her past that she chose to block out. I've many times questioned my past and thought, did I block something out as a child, you know, because all of a flash of some memory that I might just have as a fantasy or it might be a reality, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rebecca?
Yes?
Your dad sexually abused your younger sister?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even if he didn't sexually abuse you,
he's
growing
guy,
up with a guy who sees fit to F his daughter is not going to be a great place to live in, even if it was all in Glenn Campbell's house. But
hey.
But I want to know what your branding is of.
It's of a sun with a half moon or a crescent moon in the middle of it.
Well, at least it's positive.
Yeah, it's where did they put it on you?
It's on my upper back, right between my shoulder blades.
And who exactly did this? You don't have to mention names.
Yeah, here's this great piercer in Bloomington, Indiana. And,
so you actually went to a store and they did this for you?
And the thing came out of the fire red hot kind of thing?
No, he was really professional about it. He shaped the design out of different pieces of metal to fit the parts of the design and heated it them individually with a blowtorch and then touched it to my skin.
Individually.
With the blowtorch.
Good time.
All right. Yeah.
Listen, I've always...
Serving University of Indiana for 20 years.
I've always said that people should be born with an extra part, sort of like... what do you have, Drew, that you can... Drew's sneezing away.
Thank you.
What do you have in you don't need?
God bless you.
Appendix.
Appendix. But outside...
Yeah, that you can tat up.
Screwed up people could really F with. They could do the amp.
Unfortunately, they see their penis that way.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. All right, so, see, in my mind, Rebecca is a very troubled person.
Uh-huh.
And as a society, we like to say, this is what she's into. But she's really into sort of torturing herself.
I go along with that, but at the same time, it's kind of like a lot of those people, first of all, if they're not willing to look at therapy or look into themselves to ever really diagnose it. I mean, the fact that she's calling the show and saying, why do you think I do this, that's a good point.
He's bringing up an interesting question. This is something I struggle with, is what are the chances that, what was her name? Rebecca
is actually
ever
going to
be a
it.
Completely whole, mature, integrated, emotional being.
Right.
And what's wrong with her expressing these things that make her feel good, even though they're signs of trauma and signs of something wrong, that kind of keeps her in a homeostasis, keeps her okay.
She sounds kind of balanced about it.
Yeah, she's troubled that it never's enough and that she's wondering where she's going to stop with this. Well, this is working for her. You know what I mean? What do we do as a society with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's sort of like the young kid who grows up in the inner city and turns to boxing or something. So they found a way to sort of channel his rage.
Right.
And
you're not going out and shooting people, but you get the violence out there and you get the anger out.
Right, and Rebecca's not out hurting anybody else, but she is sort of hurting herself.
But, I mean, that goes back to the same thing with drug addicts. I mean, really, if you're using drugs.
I've never met anybody happier than my heroin addicts when they're using heroin.
Right.
They're happy.
No. They think they're happy.
They
but
are
they're
for
not,
a while.
No, they're not happy. I've been a heroin addict, and I know.
At the first time you found that, you didn't think this is the solution?
Well, the first time you find any drug,
well,
you think
I'm,
it's the greatest
what I'm
thing
talking
ever.
About.
But,
that's
you know,
what I'm saying.
Six times down the road, you start getting the picture.
You're in trouble. But it's an interesting question. I think what we got to do is just raise awareness about what the reality of their emotional circumstances are and make sure they don't F themselves up in relationships with the chaos can really
they hook up with another guy who's got a brand on his ass.
Yeah, but they can find a homeostasis too, as long as they're sort of they're aware.
And she got to find a straight guy, Drew. Otherwise, she ain't into that.
Oh, I see.
Jennifer?
Good times.
Hello?
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
I don't know how to word this. I'm really tight.
Mm-hmm. So well, for 16, you better be.
So is Drew's dad, like, by the way. Like, tips 5%.
Like extra tight. Like on my periods, I can't even wear tampons.
Ever.
Yeah, I've had girlfriends like that. Go on.
Like, what do I do about it? Like if I'm...
Do you have pain with insertion of a tampon? Like the muscles are spasming down
there?
Yeah,
like, I can't even get in there without like crying.
Can you get your pinky in?
Yes, I've tried. I mean, it hurts so bad.
Even putting like a pinky in.
Yeah.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
What?
Were you sexually abused growing up?
A little bit, but not much.
Yeah, it only takes a little bit.
Just a sprinkling of sexual abuse?
Sprinkling of sodomy.
You had a dusting.
You guys, that's terrible.
Of sodomy. No, who sexually abused you?
Not something to joke about here.
I know.
My mom wasn't married to him, but he was living in our house for a couple of years.
She wasn't married. It doesn't count, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has to be your dad. It has to be by marriage for the sexual abuse to count.
So this is your dad's... Drew, calm down over there. Drew, no, you're getting cut off the coffee, by the way. It's bringing out an ugly side of you that I don't care to see, neither does Corey.
Are you a virgin for all intents and purposes?
Other
I
than
have to be, because I'm so scared of the pain, but I've done other stuff.
Well, pelvic pain...
Drew, why do you always got to... You know, let me ask you a question, Drew, as long as I'm getting into you.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be the a-hole on the show, not you, by the way. But number two, you know, we do this thing with the, you know, whether you consider yourself a virgin or not and stuff, and we do it with oftentimes girls that have been sexually abused, and you're always quick to cling on to the part where sort of technically or except for the, and I don't think that's an important thing to discuss, and I wonder what your motivation is.
The motivation is really to highlight how ridiculous the concepts are that people insist on clinging to.
It doesn't come across that way.
It's like if you are a chaste person, excellent. That's important to you. That's fine. It doesn't matter if somebody's violated the plane of some area.
But you also have to understand that you're talking to a 16-year-old girl who might not be able to put that in clearest perspective as you do.
I'm just saying, if somebody says, you know, I'm a virgin, or Corey asks, are you a virgin, you don't have to be quick to point out the part about the sexual abuse in the past. You know what I mean? They could... Mom's boyfriend could have had Adam when they were 5 years old. They could have not had sex with a partner until then, and I would be willing to let them wear the virgin title without questioning it.
My point is not to bust the chops of the caller.
Too late.
Just to point out, you know, what's to prevent you from then just, you know, declaring whatever is a virgin? Just put, you know, what's your line in the sand? Go ahead, and that's virginity now.
Well, since
it's ridiculous.
But I would give them or let them have that
title.
I am.
All right, well,
then why are you so quick to bring it up all the time?
What the information we want is, are you sexually active? And that's no. And have you really ever been before? And that's no. And that's important information.
All right. Drew's done backpedaling. Now we can shut his mic. Jennifer.
Yes.
What did your mother's boyfriend do to you?
I think he would try to, like, finger me, but it seemed like every time he tried, someone would interfere, thank God. Like, someone would come in and stop him. But he did get his hand down my pants and was kind of, like, over my underwear doing it for, like, 20 minutes one time, I remember. I was, like, 11.
And who would come in and stop him? Like, your mom?
No, my mom would never do it. I have a sister, though, and...
But did your mom know about this?
Actually, he died in a car crash.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
Let's all just rejoice for a second.
Yes, one piece of good
Thank
news.
God this pig got slaughtered in the car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So after he died...
There is a God.
I told her.
Yeah.
And?
She kind of had a hard time believing me, because...
Yeah. Oh. Your mom's a witch, by the way, for bringing this guy
Predator.
Into the house.
I'm
sure she got fingered by some old man when he was a kid.
That's true.
You know what the deal is that, first of all, you just have to realize that, of course, there's a mental connection, because that's where your brain's going to tell you to go. I mean, I think it's very obvious that, obviously, it was a finger issue, that the smallest thing going anywhere near that area is going to cause fright and excitement in a bad way.
So what do you do to get around it? Set the clock back.
Well, I think therapy is definitely in order.
Therapy, and I would bet you, I don't know anywhere that does this, but I bet there's sort of novel kinds of desensitization therapies. I mean, she has basically look up vaginismus on the web. There are societies out there specifically dedicated to helping women with this the spastic problem associated with pain. It's basically mediated by spinal reflex, and if you can sort of undo it, unlearn it, basically,
right,
it doesn't hurt so
what
much.
What I was saying at the beginning of this whole thing with this caller was that I actually have had girlfriends in my past that had this exact issue, and we would try to have sex, and they would complain of it hurting. And
Have they been abused, or she been abused?
Well, yeah, at some point, you know.
Yeah.
But they hadn't let go of it completely, or whatever the deal was, and they felt ugly, or they felt dirty. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all part of the picture.
Pelvic pain is such a common outcome of sexual abuse. It's unbelievable how right. little people understand that.
Right.
Yeah. I had the opposite problem. I had the, are you in? which is its own form of emotional pain, not for her.
For
but
you, yes.
For right, me, that's a cross I have to bear.
Fortunately, it's happened enough that you're desensitized now. So
yeah. yeah. I'm like, Ian, I'm done. I'm not even in the room anymore. Who are you talking to? All right.
So you go to bed after.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, we'll take a little break. We'll come back. We'll hear something from Corey. He's got a new CD out, a new song that he's written since the Surreal Life has aired. Or since his experience over there with the Surreal Life. We'll hear that after this.
It's the best Casio music I've ever heard.
Corey Feldman's here, everybody. Part of the Surreal Life, which is on the WB Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. That means tomorrow night in many markets that we're in. We will take one call, and then we'll hear Corey's song.
All right.
All right, let's talk to Stephanie, who's 18. Stephanie?
Yeah?
What's up?
What's up? I just want to say I've, like, listened to you guys since I was, like, 12 years old. Actually, more like 4 years ago. So listening to you guys in Canada, you guys are awesome.
Thanks.
But, yeah, I'm on the Ortho Herba patch.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I smoke a lot of pot every day, and I was, like, reading through the instructions and stuff because my doctor told me to read through them before I did anything, and it said smoking can, like, cause cancer, and, like, I heard pot can also cause cancer if you smoke a lot of it, and it said it would heighten your chances of doing it.
Yeah, they don't know with the pill and pot. And the more significant issue they worry about with the pill is this thromboembolic disease, blood clots, that sort of thing, heart attacks.
Well, they don't like the pill and smoking, right?
Tobacco.
Yeah, why?
The original natural herb, tobacco.
Yeah. Why? What's different about that?
As opposed to pot?
Yeah.
Different effects on the blood clotting system.
Well, there's a thousand chemicals in cigarettes.
No, it turns out, yes, there are, and there are also in marijuana. It turns out marijuana causes emphysema, causes cancer. We don't know if it causes heart disease, but I've known of no studies that show an extra risk for being on the pill with it.
Well, this is a patch.
It's the same thing.
Oh, okay.
Exact same thing. All right.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, good times.
So Dr. Drew says it's okay to smoke weed.
And by the way, like, when you see the chick in the corner of the party, you see her from across the party, she got, like, a bong in one hand and a patch on the other. It's like, all right, fella.
Cheers.
I'll see you guys tomorrow. Larry, Bert, you guys can get out of here. I don't need a ride home. Smoking bong. And the ortho patch, it's
good,
to go. Yeah, if you see the tongue piercing on top of that, it's like that's a trifecta.
Right.
If you've hit the hat trick.
Just check the vagina and see if it's tattooed at that point. You're
right. See, look for the stars around the nipples. All right, let's hear something from Corey. Now, this isn't on the new
CD. This is not on
CD.
The album. The album came out last summer. And since that time, of course, I went through the Surreal Life experience and have been bombarded with a plethora of negative press and speculation surrounding the show and promotions from the very WB department. And as a response, I wrote this song, which is about all of the negativity that I see kind of surrounding the entire world and society as a whole. And it's kind of my response to all of that. And I'm re-releasing the album in the middle of February.
With this song on it?
With this song on it. And we're actually taking off John Lennon's Imagine, which is currently on the album, because we were only allowed to use it for a certain amount of copies anyway.
All right. Here it is, Negativity.
Out to all the people. of writing, the very first sensing, a tragic ending starting, the evening of absence of human hands absorbing, the human mind deafened, we will hear nothing looking, but still a blind denial of all things equal, equal, does not compute, selfish, is just a custom, custom to self-annotated by way of judgment, judging our brothers. Brewing inside my veins, flowing into a corner painted with shades of gray, shaking lives of many soldiers still on parade. Body, our way to caring, caring our parts away, dreaming there will be others, being one within a dream, hoping we'll love each other, loving the hope I see.
Imagine off the album,
yeah,
to put that on.
Well, yeah, you know, they're not really in the same ballpark, are they?
That was Corey Feldman has written about his recent experiences on the Surreal Life, which I didn't know was garnering all the negativity. Yeah, I heard people talking about it, and WB's angle is any press is good press, right?
Yeah, I don't agree with that angle. That's not my theory in life. You know, my theory in life is put out, you know, anything that's positive, you know, to the world, whatever it is. There's way too much negative stuff going on, and why do we need to stoop to such lows? You know, I've never really seen a network stoop to the lows that it stooped to with this particular
campaign. Oh, what is it?
What
are they doing?
Well, I mean, commercials saying 7X superstars and, you know, look at this person. They used to be great and they used to be wonderful. And look at them now. They're on our show, you know, which is something I've never seen any network do. I mean, first of all, they greatly pursued each of us to do the show.
Right.
And then promised us that it wasn't going to be dealt with in this way.
So
and
you felt like it's a little bit of a trap.
Oh, definitely. And not only that, but what do you expect the press and the media to do when you're handed a hot plate that says, burn these guys? You know, it's not like anybody in the press is going to respond and go, hey, seven great guys, you know, or seven great people living in this house that are really cool and you should watch them. No, they're going to say, well, seven has been, seven watch it, because that's what the network's putting out there. So the whole thing has become this kind of conspiracy against, you know, the people in the house, which is kind of ridiculous because they're all good people.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you want people watching the show?
Well, yeah, but I think that we would have been just as successful if you would have said, you know, check out the seven celebrities that are on the show.
Right.
This is what one of the episodes is going to look like.
But
Tune in.
I just mean, it's not a loaded question. I'm not trying to corny here, but given your feelings after the taping of the show, would you prefer it go away? Or are you proud of it? I mean,
no, I think the show itself, I think the producers did a good job editing the show, and I think it's interesting. And though everything may not be exactly the way it happened, there may be a bit of storytelling in it. That's okay, because that's what reality television is.
Right.
And I was prepared for that, and that's okay. My only objection is just literally in belittling the people that are a part of their show.
Via the ad campaign.
Right.
Tasha? Tasha, you're 23. Let me tell you what you probably why you don't have to worry so much about that is because no one watches the WB, and then they turn it on to what,
so
9 o'clock on
promos.
Thursday night, and
okay,
then they immediately switch it when the show's off. I mean, that's good. What this is why this has happened to me. I saw the Surreal Life, but haven't seen a second of WB in between the two Thursdays. So.
Well, good. Good.
That's probably how America's following
well,
it as well.
Thank you for that uplifting thought.
You're quite welcome. Tasha?
Hello.
You're 23. What's up?
Hi. I just noticed, well, it's been like a few years now that when I'm sleeping, I'll have these dreams that I'm having intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I wake up like I'm having an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's called a wet dream.
And you can't find the TV remote?
Yeah. No. I'm just wondering if it's normal. It's really quite weird to me, I guess. I don't know.
Is it? What's the big deal?
Yeah, it's completely normal. Why not?
You're 23. What's
the big deal? Wet dreams when I was 23.
Well, men all have wet dreams, but many women do also.
Matter of fact, I just had one last night. No, I'm just joking.
What's that?
I guess it was just because I haven't really had an orgasm during intercourse.
Hmm.
So
your fantasies are still better than the realities.
Yeah. Are you married?
No.
You have a boyfriend?
No.
Have you ever had a boyfriend?
Yeah.
But he was not able to get you to that same place, huh?
I don't know.
He wasn't able to do you up like the Sandman.
There you go.
I miss the Sandman nickname, by the way. It used to be like every 10th boxer had the Sandman nickname. The Sandman has gone away.
Gone.
Do the kids know the Sandman is the guy who puts you to sleep anymore?
No.
Tasha?
Yeah.
You familiar with the Sandman?
Yeah.
You are. Who's the Sandman?
The guy that puts you to sleep, I suppose.
The guy that leaves the crap in your eyes the next morning. That's who he is.
That's the Jizz Man.
Oh, sorry. I thought it was the same guy.
Was that
Tasha? They hang out.
I see.
That's it? You're all right?
Yep.
It's a normal thing. You're fine.
What if you put sand in the Jizz Man?
It does suggest to me that you should,
dust storm.
Should be able to do a little better in real life than you were able to do with your last relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's
and,
all right.
And
something
really,
to aspire to.
You really, I mean, I don't want to belittle you too much, but it's part of my job. You needed to call the show for this question? You had a erotic dream where you had some pleasure?
I think she was dreaming about you, Adam. And,
was the content of the dream disturbing?
No, it was just, I guess, it crossed my mind right now, and I thought, hey.
All right.
An impulse.
Right. Next time, think about it more before I call the show. Well, listen, I'm a 23-year-old woman. It's like I had a dream that I had sex and it felt good. What's wrong with me?
Yeah
all right.
And I think her thing was, though, why could I achieve it in sleep but not in real life?
Right.
So. Well, for a woman, there's no actual physiological evidence for many of them that they have had an orgasm. Right. So it's sort of like when you have a sensation of eating or something in your
sleep. You have an orgasm in your sleep and then you wake up and it's wet. That doesn't necessarily mean that you had the orgasm of all time. You could have just, you know, drank.
Oh, there's nothing wet. There's no puddle. There's no evidence.
Oh, there was no puddle? That's what she said?
I don't know.
I don't think so. But if there was a puddle, the Sandman could spread some sand on that and sop it up.
Right.
Yeah, like kitty litter on the driveway.
Of course.
Right.
Corey Feldman is here. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. Dr. Drew over there. Corey Feldman is our guest tonight. Going to be on the Surreal Life, which is Thursday nights, 9 o'clock, the WB, and a very enjoyable show. Saw the first episode and looking forward to the second. All right.
And former child actor is in stores now, being re-released in February.
I'm sorry. I should have given that a plug.
No,
where did my CD go?
I got you back.
All right. Melissa.
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes, I am.
You have a blue liquid seeping out of your nipples?
Yes.
That would be a problem.
Yes, it would, and I don't know what it... I mean, I've been to the doctor.
Yeah.
And he saw it, and he said that he wanted to test it, and he said that he looked at it under a microscope, and the cells were crystallizing, and he really didn't explain that, so I don't know what that means, but... And he's not quite sure what it is either.
You're not talking like a dark blue. You mean like a real, real light blue, right?
No, it's... I mean, it's transparent, right. And it's not foggy or anything.
Do you shoot much Windex? Just a question.
You mainlining that?
So yeah. Why doesn't he think that's milk?
Because he said these milk and colostrum and, you know, all of that stuff is either white or sometimes it can be yellow.
It can have a kind of a blue tint to it, I would think. Is this your gynecologist?
No, my regular doctor that I went to.
Are you on any medicine?
No, I'm not.
No,
have you ever been pregnant?
Nothing.
Yeah, but that was 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And this has been just a couple months time.
It just started like 3 months ago.
And it's both breasts?
No, just one. He sent me in for a mammogram because I'm
good.
Too young.
Good.
To have a, what are those things where they smash your boob?
Mammogram. So they did an ultrasound instead though, right?
Yeah. And then they
it's
didn't
also
find
a camping trip
there.
With me. I get into some boob smashing.
Yeah, we do that on the Surreal Life tomorrow night.
I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So, okay, and the ultrasound was okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Well, you got to look around for other things like thyroid conditions, pituitary problems, other things.
He did a blood test for that, and I'm supposed to be going back in next week.
And some women,
I'm kind of worried in the meantime. So
no, there's really nothing to be done in the meantime. And some women, just the stimulation, even just the rubbing against the bra kind of thing, can stimulate some production. So it's it's probably going to end up being no big deal.
What was he talking about with the crystallizing?
No. Well, that's after they, inject the Windex, they got to cook it up and smoke it afterwards.
They have to bring it down to a rock form.
Exactly.
Try that Windex. All right, let's talk to Michael. Michael?
Hey, what's going on?
You're 21. What's up?
I was wondering, is the Surreal Life over and in the can, or is it still ongoing?
It's in the can.
Cool.
Yeah. No, we're done.
Who was his favorite housemate, and who was his least favorite, and why?
Yeah, don't be diplomatic here. Who'd you like the best?
We're sitting on the problem with Gabrielle.
Yeah, no, I mean, Gabrielle and I definitely were at odds with each other, but I wouldn't say that I don't like her as a person.
The blonde.
The blonde, that's the short-haired blonde older lady.
The blonde, you want to know who Brandi Roderick is?
Yeah.
Who is she? She's a Playmate 2001 Playmate of the Year. She was on Baywatch.
Oh.
And, she's actually a really sweet girl. I like her a lot.
Ow!
I mean, when it comes to who was my favorite, it's really hard to say because I'll tell you who my favorites were. It was, Vince Manny.
Daniel Lewis.
Yeah, MC Hammer was great. I mean, him and I are still really good
friends.
Did
you get a shot of Brandi naked? You get to see her run around?
No, I didn't get to do that, unfortunately. But if my wife was living there with me, then we would have just...
done a little swinging?
You never know. No.
Brandi brought her lamp dog. It was perfect.
I was actually looking at the dog for a while there, too. But I saw the dog naked a couple times.
All right, Michael.
All right.
You can watch tomorrow night and judge for yourself.
Okay.
All right, bye.
I like the way that every time I mention my wife's name, the guy in the background seems to want to do the whip snap thing. Yeah, this is good stuff. It's good. Can we do that a couple more times?
Jenna? Yeah,
God forbid somebody actually was in love in this universe. That's right.
Jenna?
Yeah, how are you?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have two questions, but I'll ask the more important one. I've been going out with my boyfriend for about a year, and every time we're having sex, when we're getting really hot and heavy, he just asks me, I really want to have a threesome with you.
Before he gets finished in the first place?
I mean, we're very honest with each other, and he even told me, he's like, if you really don't want to do it, then we don't have to.
Wait, let me get this straight. Is it before he reaches climax, like in the middle of sex?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that could be a fantasy thing, know what I mean?
Yeah, he's told me. He's like,
oh, okay, well, so are you, how do you feel about all that?
Not that great.
Do you tell him that?
Yeah, I've told him. I'm like, I'll think about it, but... Don't you think it's going to ruin the relationship?
End it.
Oh, stop that. That's not true
at all. Corey, you've done some swinging in your day, right?
I've had my share of threesomes, and I've had them in relationships as well.
And all those relationships turned out great?
I've only done it in a few, and the few that I did it in were the best relationships of my life. And
why aren't you still with those people?
Well, I'm actually married to one of them.
All right.
Where's the whip?
So, hello. Yeah, where's the whip now?
I don't know.
All right. So anyway, so my point is that, you know, what it really comes down to is where your guidelines are individually and together. And the bottom line is, if it's something that you're not comfortable with or don't find yourself being comfortable with in the future, then you need to tell him that you're probably not the right girl for him.
Right.
You know, I mean, if it's something that interests you and it's a line that you would like to explore, then you say to him, you know, it's something that I'm open to. But it doesn't sound to me like that's the case. And I think you got to kind of be honest with yourselves and where you're at.
And this whole idea that we're honest with each other, Jenna, is a load of BS. I mean, he's like manipulating you and demanding things, and you're like, oh, thank you for being so honest.
Well, wait. There's a piece of that that's true, and there's a piece that's not, because any relationship that explores any outer enjoyment has to be based in a very, very honest situation, or it's not going to last. Bottom line is, you know, I understand the reasons why people do things like that, and a lot of it has to do with mistrust in the past, and a lot of it is about repair work. And, you know, two people may feel that they can trust each other more by knowing that if they have a fantasy or something they want to explore in their lives, that if they're honest and they tell each other about it and they live it together, it's better than somebody eventually going out and cheating on the other person. And at the end of the day, if you're going to be married to somebody and it's somebody you find as a partner for life, it's better that you have that avenue open and you can have that communication than you keep it as a dirty little secret in your own brain and you end up turning it against them.
All right, Drew, do not offer a rebuttal.
We're out of time.
But Jessica has been on hold for 80 minutes, and her question to Corey.
Drew is doing right now.
Very quickly is what, Jessica?
I'm down here at Mondo, and I was trying to figure out who came up with the Eradicator, you or Mary from, come on, you got to know, Rock and Roll High School.
Mondo what?
All right. Oh, no. Wait a minute.
No, wait, I'm interested in this.
Mondo what?
Mondo Video.
Oh, okay.
All right. Who came up with the Eradicator?
Actually, it was neither of us answer to that.
Just because that was worth 81 minutes. We'll be back. Well, that's it for the show. I want to thank Corey Feldman for coming in here and give the CD, Former Child Actor, a plug. Also, want to tell you can see him on The Surreal Life Thursday nights, 9 o'clock.
That whip you love.
That's
on,
right.
The WB.
You can see me get whipped.
Thanks,
every
Corey.
Week.
Nice meeting you.
It was a pleasure meeting you, Adam. I had a lot of fun and Drew.
Welcome back.
It was a pleasure to see you again and spend this time.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
You tattoo penises for a living? That's terrible.
But you've done that.
I would quit.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.